there's that sort of old adage, if you aren't paying for a product, you are the product.
Edward Joan is the head of PR at ProtonMail, one of the biggest encrypted email services in the world.
I'm creating data on a day-to-day basis. As long as I have control over who looks after that data, who has access to it, who can decide what to do with it, that's not really an issue. It's very easy for you as a user to think of yourself as a customer of Facebook. You know, I have a profile or Gmail, I have an account and I use their service and I get something from it and you know, I'm able to communicate or get information or plan events or whatever it might be. The big problem we have now is that the biggest companies in the world have generated these enormous revenues by misusing data.
This is Beyond Tech, a short form podcast where you learn something new every episode in around 10 minutes. In 2020, 1.7 megabytes of private data are created every single second per person on Earth. I think this number is just crazy.
Well, I'll believe it. It's very easy for a lot of people to think about data as being, you know, files on their computer or even, you know, orders they've made on Amazon or what have you. But in essence, actually, the data we're creating is our just normal interactions with the internet. It could be looking up an address on Google Maps. It could be chatting to somebody on Facebook Messenger. It could be, you know, liking a photo on Instagram. It could be almost anything. And most people don't really think about that as data. Data is now little pieces of our identity. It's little pieces of who we are. In the same way that in the real world, I'm a person who lives on the fourth floor of a building in Zurich. I have a wife and a baby on the way, and I cook, and I like to ride my bike. These are things that sort of make up my identity, and those are things in the real world. But when things are put through the digital world, these bits of our identity are that they can be used, they can be monetized, they can be owned by somebody else. It's very easy for someone to control identity, but that is a quite abstract concept and quite hard for a lot of people to get their heads around.
It's super interesting. We in business, I learned it, how is it, the latent needs. You don't even know about it, but you have it. And that's exactly what's always hard to target, especially with new products. But I think that is why it's such an amazing tool as well for all the ad agencies and companies.
Well, that's the thing. Data and information has been the basis of advertising forever. The difference now is that these companies have such an enormous insight into every facet of our lives that it's not just, okay, we got a product that we think males between the age of 25 and 35 would be interested in. It's males between the age of 25 and 35 who live in higher income areas, who work in certain jobs, who travel on a regular basis and own dogs, have been in two relationships in the last 5 years, and particularly enjoy Indian food. You know, it could be so, so exact and targeted that rather than it's phenomenal. It's really, really phenomenal. But it goes a step beyond that as well. And it's not just making sure that products you might be interested in are shown to you. It goes to the point of changing what you want. And that's the thing I think a lot of people find quite scary. It was the subject of a large part of the Social Dilemma on Netflix, and a big part of what people were worried of, what scared people when the Cambridge Analytica issue came up in 2016. That once you know enough about a person, you not only know how to make them buy a product, but you can know how to make them believe something different, to change their beliefs. The more information you have about a population, the bigger impact you can have. It's on the one hand amazing, and on the other hand completely terrifying.
I think it's kind of propaganda on steroids, right?
Oh,
it's
yeah.
So that brings me to the point. What is ProtonMail exactly doing?
At its core, ProtonMail is a end-to-end encrypted email company. We were started in 2014 by our chief executive, Andy Yen, who at the time was working at CERN. He and the other founders looked at the state of things, looked at the way the data was being used, and decided it wasn't right, but also recognized that it's not easy for most people to take control of their own data. The base technology that we use, PGP encryption, has existed for a long time. It's just been, you have to have some technical expertise to really know how to use it. So what Proton Mail does is to make it as easy as possible for anyone to use, because it has a similar interface to any other commercial email service.
So talk me through, how do you do that step by step?
We can't see your data. Nobody else can either. If somebody sends an email from a Proton Mail account, it leaves their phone, is scrambled up and turned into gobbledygook and gibberish, goes into our servers. We have no way of unscrambling it. And from the other side, it gets the recipient, and only the recipient can unscramble it. As a result, we don't know what our users are talking about. We can't access their data and sell it and monetize it or anything like that. And nobody else can either. We believe that privacy is a human right. We think everyone should have the right to look after their own data, to decide what to do with it, and not have someone snooping on them. Yeah, we think this is a civil liberty, and it's something that people have the right to have.
The follow-up is then, why are you based in Switzerland?
Switzerland is one of the most privacy-conscious jurisdictions in the world. It's not part of the 14 Eyes intelligence community. So, if the US government wants to get access to one of our users' accounts, then, well, first of all, they can't because it's encrypted. But if they wanted to make a request, it has to go through the Swiss authorities first, and it has to be in keeping with Swiss law. So, yeah, that's one of the reasons we're in Switzerland.
So maybe we're moving from a Swiss banking secret to a Swiss data secret.
The Swiss data and sort of tech sector has been growing significantly in recent years, I think, because of its historical respect for privacy. You see, there's server farms appearing up in the mountains on a very regular basis. It has a lot of advantages.
We said data is growing massively, even in the future. So question is, where do you think we should move from here? What would you wish?
I would hope that the world is moving towards a more privacy conscious setup. The concerns about the use of data and concerns around privacy and awareness of privacy has become mainstream. And I think the best example of that is the fact that companies like Facebook and Google and Apple are using privacy in their marketing materials now. They wouldn't do that if there wasn't a marketable reason for doing so, if there wasn't a public desire. But at its very core, we need the business model of the internet to change. The way the internet operates at the moment does not work in the interest of users. It works in the interest of advertisers, like we've discussed at length already. It is not a done deal. There's a number of things that need to happen. Firstly, awareness. Users need to know how their data is being used and aware of the alternatives. Secondly, there has to be a shift on the part of private enterprise company. There need to be more and more companies that are user-focused, that are privacy-focused, that respect their users' privacy and act in their users' interest. As I said, there are a number of companies appearing that do this, and we're proud to be one of them. And thirdly, governments need to take action as well. The existing regulations in much of the world that govern how the digital sector operates are out of date and don't deal with the problems that we actually face nowadays. So we need to see data privacy being a central part of legislation, but also we need to see changes in the way that competition in the tech sectors is regulated. I mean, it's very interesting to see at the moment, and I'm sure your listeners will be aware, there's investigations in Washington at the moment. Mark Zuckerberg and Bezos and everybody else were recently pulled up in front of a congressional committee to give evidence on competition in the tech sector. There's investigations happening in Brussels. The Japanese have recently indicated they want to look again at tech competition regulation. The UK are establishing an entire body within their competition regulator looking specifically at the tech sector. And this is important because we need there to be a competitive sector which allows for innovation, which allows for new companies to come forward. At the moment, the sector is entirely dominated by companies whose business model is based on surveillance capitalism. We need there to be room in the market for companies that take a different approach, a more user-friendly and privacy-focused approach. We need room for them to be able to fight forward and come to the forefront. I say, maybe I'm an optimist. I think that's the direction we're going in. I think there's an appetite out there. I think there's a demand from users to have their privacy respected, but it's not a done deal. A lot of money is generated as part of the status quo. And until hands are forced, You could, those companies that control these markets are going to try and hold on to their revenues as hard as they can. But I like to think that the winds of change are starting to appear.
Thank you for listening to Beyond Tech, a podcast from Digital Switzerland. My name is Matthias, and if you find these episodes interesting, and if you learned something new today, let us know. We'd also like to hear what topics you're curious about and what episodes we should cover in the future. This podcast was produced by Tinka Media. Music came from Blue Dot Session. If you like this podcast, please rate it and share it with your friends. Looking forward to catching up with you in a week.